Good morning, and welcome to worship, and good morning to people who are joining us on Zoom, with apologies for last week where we lost all sorts of electronics, just to put it simply. Rob's going to take us through some of the intimations.
Good morning.
I've got a question. How many poppies were there?
Five hundred and thirty-eight,
right. I just thought, I'm sure I didn't find out that information. And in response to comments as I came in, it is not expected that my photograph will appear in the Dunfermline Press this week. Unless I do something wrong and I'm on the court page. There we go. But yes, it was quite surprising to find myself appearing quite so often. It is great to be here to worship God. So let's begin our worship by singing hymn number 470, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun. Let's bless our offering. Almighty God, receive from our hands the gifts that we present, gifts that we offer in joy for the service of your church in the world. Bless us in our giving and our gifts in their use, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, contrary to what your order of service says, Rosemary is leading us in prayer, not Derek, because Derek is on the sound desk. But the changes that we are making this week are nothing to the changes that we were making last week.
The prayers for this morning's service are based on resources from within the Church of Scotland website for Christ the King Sunday. Let us pray. For Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, we give you thanks, dear Lord. In him, we know you in your fullness, as loving and compassionate, as creator of all. as reconciler of things which are far apart, broken and ruptured. Thank you for his message of hope, his steadfast living out of all you stand for, his spirit which draws us into new communities of compassion and healing. We thank you for human companionship, which builds up and restores the soul. We thank you for people around us who show us the way of the kingdom of God. We thank you for the blessing of our environment and of sustenance for mind, body and soul. For colour and beauty in nature and things we see and hear and feel which bring us pleasure. Make us stop for a moment to share and enjoy. Thank you, dear Lord. Loving God, you have given us confidence to turn back to you as forgiven people through the life, teaching, death and resurrection of your Son Jesus. Like prodigal children, we are ready to begin again, and like the loving parent in the story Jesus told, you are watching for us to return, ready to take us into your arms. And in the stillness of your presence, we bring to you now our own personal thoughts and confession. Eternal Father, may we know ourselves in new ways, in being loved, accepted and forgiven, as we join together now in the saying of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 469. Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. Said that every day is a school day. There's always something new to learn, and I quite often come across things that are surprising facts. It's usually because I've assumed something quite different to be true and discover that I was wrong. I was doing a bit of reading to prepare for this Sunday, which you might expect me to do. I was reading up about the origins of this last Sunday before Advent being designated Christ the King Sunday. We might assume that this designation has a long history. From a Christian perspective, there is something logical in having the church year begin with the promise of the Messiah, Advent. And that has been the case for many centuries. And so, to follow on from that logic, the last Sunday of the church year, looking forward to the completion of God's plan of salvation, the reign of Christ at the end of time, surely that has the same kind of history. The surprise to me was to find that Christ the King Sunday was set up in 1925. Pope Pius XI instituted the Feast of Christ the King in 1925 to remind Christians that their allegiance was to their spiritual ruler in heaven as opposed to earthly supremacy, which was claimed by Benito Mussolini. And there I found another surprise. Without ever having checked the facts, I had kind of assumed that Italy followed Germany in terms of fascism and dictatorship. In fact, Mussolini came to power in 1922, a little bit over a decade ahead of Hitler in Germany. So, this celebration of Christ the King on the last Sunday of the church year has an origin that is both historical and political. It was not intended by Pope Pius, but there is something very appropriate in this celebration following immediately upon Remembrance Sunday. Last week we were looking back, many of us looking back, because of war memorials, to those names there from the two great conflicts of the 20th century. It is noted that after the Catholic Church adopted this celebration in 1925, in the next few years, all the major denominations did the same. Little did those Christian folk realize that the Great War, the so-called war to end wars, would be eclipsed by a greater and more bloody conflict. And then at the end of the Second World War in 1945, not an end to the kind of earthly authority that claims supremacy. For that matter, the fascist dictators of the 20th century were not the first to claim supremacy in terms of earthly authority. It has been in human history from time immemorial. And still today, there are those who claim such supremacy. In origin and in observance, this Sunday is meant to challenge the claims made by earthly authority. It is also meant as a challenge to us in our allegiance as Christian people. It is interesting that the oft-quoted words of Lord Acton, "Power tends to corrupt, absolute power corrupts absolutely," was in reference to how historians should judge abuse of power by past rulers, and it's noted, especially popes. The church is not beyond claiming earthly power. What does it mean to declare that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. What is the kingdom of God? What is this thing to which we belong? Rob is going to read to us a passage from the book of Psalms about the rule of God, and a passage from Luke's Gospel where Jesus is declared king, but maybe not the way that anyone would expect from an earthly perspective. Rob.
The first reading is from the old book of Psalms, chapter 46, verses 1 to 7. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, from verse 33, and it's headed "The King of the Jews." When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Our next hymn is from Mission Praise, number 296. "I Stand Amazed in the Presence."
Thank you.
In just under 6 months' time, we will celebrate the coronation of King Charles III. The date set for the ceremony is 6th of May 2023. It will no doubt be a grand occasion. Lots of pomp and circumstance. There will be ceremony with all the robed officials there. There will be parades and parties. No doubt that King Charles will have significant input into the planning, but maybe less than we think. There will be demands that come from due process and demands from the nation. The great and the good from our nation, the Commonwealth and the world will be in attendance. In some ways, this coronation is a showcase of who we are as the United Kingdom. It's a declaration of who we are as a nation. Who are we as the United Kingdom? And of course, it is good and right that we keep King Charles in our thoughts and prayers. In fact, it is a Christian duty to pray for those in authority. It is a biblical instruction. Leaders have great influence, and we as church want that influence to be Christian. We want a godly king for our land. On this Sunday, when many Christian people acknowledge and celebrate Christ as King, our thoughts rightly turn to Jesus in his heavenly glory. It is good for us to remember that we belong to a kingdom beyond the temporary things of this world. Our greater allegiance is to the kingdom of God. Our true belonging is to that which is infinite and eternal. Here is a glory, a kingdom that is beyond anything of the temporary things of this earth. I was thinking about coronation, the coronation of a king. That coronation to take place next year. And it was as that word coronation went through my head, an Easter hymn came to mind. Sylvia Dunstan wrote the hymn, "This Is Your Coronation," and we sing it to the tune Passion Chorale. This is your coronation, thorns pressed upon your head, no bright angelic heralds, but angry crowds instead. Beneath your throne of timber, and struggling with the load, you go in cruel procession on sorrow's royal road. And it particularly came to mind because when I looked up the readings for this Sunday, the New Testament reading was the story, or part of the story, of the crucifixion from Luke's Gospel. As I looked at that reading, I realized that there were three references kind of mixed through that reading that declare Jesus as king. The first is mockery. The second is political. The third, a declaration of faith. Two of these, of course, are of earth, and one is of heaven. The first reference to Jesus as king is a reference that unites. It unites the crowd with the Jewish leaders and with Roman authority. The crowd are not passive observers. The rulers say, "If you are Christ." The Roman soldiers say, "If you are King of the Jews." Jesus is mocked by that crowd who called for his crucifixion and now stand as witness to what they called for. The leaders of God's people put that into words. And those who represent the power of Rome sneer at the man on the cross. And their accusation is of weakness. Save others. save yourself. The insults of the crowd are even picked up by one of those crucified with him. Execution by crucifixion was a very public warning to anyone who might be tempted to challenge the power of Rome. This meant that the crime committed should be known. And so the second declaration of Jesus as king. The legal process that we find in the crucifixion story is very clearly political expediency. And in that declaration of Jesus as king, it could be said that democracy, meritocracy, and autocracy combined to convict him. The crowd demand, the great and the good persuade, the man of power condemns. Jesus is guilty of being king. The sign on the cross is not the political fiction that those who wrote it or those who complained about it think. The only thing wrong with that sign is that Jesus is more than simply King of the Jews. He is that, but so much more. The words of faith come from a condemned criminal. That third declaration, in his own words, a man rightly condemned. He asks Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. In some ways, we could understand this person, convicted and condemned and dying with Jesus, as the first citizen of the kingdom where Jesus is king. Today, you will be with me in paradise. But what of us? As those who declare that Christ is king, who are we? What should we be? Who are we as followers of the one whose crown was thorns? What do we mean when we say we belong to Jesus, this Jesus whose kingship is declared by crucifixion? I have to confess, sometimes I want everything to be right to facilitate my faithfulness. What I want of myself is a right faith exercised in a right church, living in a right nation as part of a right world. At times it seems wrong to me that I should have a troubled faith as part of an imperfect church, living in an imperfect nation as part of a troubled world. But Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. And there's a big question in there. Do we want Jesus as king on our terms, or do we want to be God's people on Jesus' terms? It's worth remembering that the declaration of God as strength and fortress in Psalm 46 is not made from a position of strength, rather a position of weakness. Here is a people who were not strong, whose for most of their history were oppressed by nations and empires around them. And yet they declare that God is their fortress. It is easy to believe that all things work for good when all seems good and right. Faith is when we believe all things will work for good when in times of trouble and turmoil. The only way to celebrate Christ the King is to live it, to be those who in surrendering to God are victorious in life. As usual, to prepare the sermon, I went looking for a quotation, and it made me smile. But it also spoke quite powerfully. And it's by Elvis Presley. I don't often quote Elvis, who was nicknamed the King. But he said, I am not the king. Jesus Christ is the king. I'm just an entertainer. And that to me is a powerful declaration. So the question is, do we want Jesus as king on our terms? Or do we want to be God's people on Jesus' terms? I'll leave you with the question, and I'll ask Rosemary to lead us in prayer for others.
Let us pray. On this Christ the King Sunday, we remember that Christ's kingship does not shy away from the agony of the cross, the vulnerability of the incarnation, the risk and betrayal of human relationships in times of danger and threat. In our prayer for others this morning, we are committing those we pray for into the hands of one who knows the frailties and troubles of human life. And so we pray with compassion for those who hurt and fear and cry today because they have been let down by systems or circumstances or the ones they love. We remember those whose lives are most affected by climate change, who face hunger, thirst, fire or flood in the heart of their homes. Grant wisdom and conviction to those who hold the power to make a difference on global, national, and individual levels. We pray with love for those who are lonely or in pain, and for those who care for family and friends in times of need. We acknowledge the stress of being a carer and the sometimes conflicting feelings of those who are cared for. Bring comfort and encouragement, dear Lord, to situations of conflict, and rest for those who bear the heaviest burdens. We pray with faith for those we love the most, and for those who have no one to name them before you. May your presence surround and bless them today and always. May they know they are loved and known and seen by you. For those who grieve the loss of one they loved, we pray especially that you will encourage them with strong memories and a confidence in your loving purpose, which holds all souls in life. We give you thanks for the witness of those who knew and followed you as their Lord and King and showed us what it meant to be Christian. May they know of our grateful love for them, now and always, as we bring to you in quietness those who are known to us and those who are not, and we ask your blessing for all. Creator God, Christ the King, living Spirit, go before us to give light to those who sit in darkness and to guide our feet into the ways of peace. Amen.
We conclude our service today by singing hymn number 458, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow.
Thank you.
Go now to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.